billboard sign, print up t-shirts, begging someone to come and choose her. Wouldn't that cheapen who she is? Wouldn't that make it seem like they were doing her a favor? How are we gonna do that? If you wanna come and get to know her, you better come with everything you've got, or I'll send you back.
We can hit the lights. So every now and then I come across a TV show that really challenges my thinking and really makes me take stock of what's been going on. Number two in the back, please. On the lights. There we go. We don't want God's people to sit in darkness. There we go. Let there be light. And there was light. And the people saw it was good. One of these shows, and maybe you've seen a show like this in the past, where a situation is set before a group of unsuspecting people to see how they'll respond when there's variables and circumstances that either A, they don't identify, they don't know about, or B, it challenges them and it tests them. And one of these TV shows, in a lot of ways, tugs at the question that's on the screen for us this morning. What would you do? So for example, let me give you a few scenarios that have been portrayed on television shows such as this. And maybe in some ways, maybe your experiences in life. Situation one looks a little like this. A wallet or a purse full of cash is planted in a busy foot trafficked area. And off the side, out of eyesight, is a hidden camera watching to see what passersby will do. Will the person pick it up? And if so, what will they do with it? Will they put it in their own pocket and walk away? That's a good day. Now I can get that value meal at McDonald's, maybe two. Or will they look for someone to give the wallet back to? Over time, as the situation plays out, the viewers, you and I at home, get to see what this person, what he or she will do with said wallet or the purse. But then after a moment's time, the question is set before you and I, the viewer, at home. What would you do? Situation two looked a little like this. There's a group exam that's being given, and the winner, surprise, surprise, gets to go on one of the latest television shows on TV to win $1 million. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that quiz or test, right? But once again, off this side, tucked out of sight, is a little hidden camera. And once again, the question is, what will this person do in this situation? When the money's on the line, when the stakes are high, when it seems that maybe nobody else is watching, will this person faithfully attend to their paper? Or are they going to glance to the left or to the right to see who has a better answer? And then the question is asked of you and me in the comfort of our home. What would you do? Situation three looked a little like this. There's a fountain in the middle of the mall, and maybe you've seen one of these. They become collection bins for coins and all kinds of other things. Well, the situation that's portrayed for you and I, the viewer at home, is just this. There's a fountain full, not of grace, but of cash, coins, pennies, nickels, dimes, silver dollars, you name it. And once again, off the side, tucked away, out of sight, is a hidden camera. Over there, over there, over there. But then something else is introduced to the situation. Something else is dropped into the fountain that's just too good to pass up. A few gold coins. And over time, you and I, the viewers at home, get to watch as people pass by this fountain and then, oh, gold coins. The water's been drained a little bit more out of the fountain on this particular day, and the coins are strategically placed near the outer rim of the fountain, just within reach. And the question, once again, is asked, of all those passing by the fountain and the gold coins, what will he or she do? Will they walk away with soggy sleeves and wet pant legs as they went in for the coins, or will they walk on past? And then the question is posed to you and to me in the comfort of our home. What would you do? Or maybe what would you do if you saw somebody jump into the fountain? Would you give them a hand as long as they promised to give you one? Or would you challenge the behavior? What would you do? So running straight from the pages of God's Word, we see this portrayed for us in a big way through three different examples that St. Luke records for us in chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, which was our gospel reading for today. St. Luke portrays three examples for us, and the question that's posed to you and to me, the student of God's Word, is just this: what would you do? In these situations, we're going to see the following. What will Jesus say? There's some kind of conversation or dynamic or interplay of behavior in motion. Jesus will say something. Somebody will respond, or quite frankly, maybe they won't. But through it all, through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word, St. Luke paints these pictures for us, these situations for us. And in a lot of ways, you and I are challenged in the comfort of our seat this morning to answer the question for ourselves, what would you do? So let's take a look at this. Situation 1, verses 57 to 58. And if you'd like to follow along in your worship bulletin as well, that's great, or the screen's up front. But Luke records this situation for us. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus' response is just this: "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." On the surface level, it looks like a pretty nice offer. This guy is willing to go with Jesus wherever Jesus goes. To walk where Jesus walks, to say what Jesus says, to lay his head where Jesus lays his head. But then Jesus comes back to him because he knows where this man's heart and his mind are. And he knows where this man is truly at in terms of his definition of discipleship. So the man is challenged by Jesus. And Jesus says this: "Foxes live here, birds have this for their home. But where I'm going, sometimes there is no place to lay my head. Where I go, the Holiday Inn has turned the lights off. The vacancy sign now flashes no vacancy. And where I go, sometimes people tell me to take a hike. Will you still go with me there?" And unless I missed something, and if you'd like to check me on this morning, actually, let's do this. Go ahead and turn to the gospel reading, if you would. If you would, go ahead. I can hear a couple pages turning, all right? Turn to Luke chapter 9, your worship bulletin today. You tell me, what did the man do in response to Jesus' comment? What did he say? We don't know. We don't know. So you and I, the viewer at home, are left to answer the question, what would you do? You come to Jesus and you love Jesus and you love the stickers, you love the posters, you love the paraphernalia. John 3:16, it looks good. Then Jesus challenges you where you're at. He reminds you that where he's going, it's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's tense. And it challenges you in your comfort zone. So you and I, the viewer, the reader at home, are left to answer the question, when Jesus responds the way he does, what will you do? Situation 2 is painted for us in this way by St. Luke, beginning at verse 59. And maybe if you want to keep your worship bulletin open to the gospel reading for a moment, we can track together. Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus' response is just this, in the 60. "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Is Jesus being insensitive? I mean, isn't this the same Jesus who said, "Love God, love your neighbor"? What's going on here? From the way this man approaches Jesus, we're led to take away from this that this man's parents are still very much alive. In fact, if his dad had passed away or his mother, he would probably be at the wake or the viewing or maybe even at the service itself instead of talking to Jesus about needing to be at the funeral. If you got to be at a funeral, where are you at? You're probably at the funeral. Or if you're needing to be at a wedding, right, Lance and Cassie, especially for the bride or groom, you're at the wedding, right? You're already there. What this man is essentially saying to Jesus is, "Look, Jesus, I have family commitments, I have obligations, I have these priorities. My priorities, my time, my schedule, my agenda. Mom and Dad, they're still alive and kicking. Dad's doing good. He's running circles around the field out there. So when he passes away, and after he passes away, and after we put all the family affairs in order, then I will come and follow you. But in the meantime, maybe just pencil me in as TBD. to be determined for when I'll follow. Now look at your gospel reading once again. What does this man say in response to Jesus' comment about the dead burying their dead? What does this man say? What does he do? We don't know. So once again, the question is posed to you and to me, the viewer, the reader at home. What would you do? When Jesus takes a look at your schedule for the day or for the week, and it's full, and I get it, we're busy people. But in the strength of a relationship and through grace, he comes to each one of us to challenge us in those places in our schedule. Maybe some things need to change. Maybe my priorities need to slip off the page so that his can be on the page. When Jesus comes to you and to me, what will we do? Situation 3, recorded for Luke, looks a little something like this, beginning at verse 61. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus responds, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Is Jesus being insensitive here? Does Jesus not like families? Is that consistent with what we know about Jesus and our God? Certainly not. We know Jesus loves families. In fact, we saw a good example of that today with the gracious reception of Jada and Gunnar to the family of God through waters of holy baptism. We know God loves families. So what's going on here, Jesus? What's happening? Jesus knows that while this man's feet are right in front of him and they're face to face, they're eye to eye, iris to iris, pupil to pupil, this man's heart is not there for Jesus. It's back there. So Jesus, knowing this man's heart, his mind, where he's at in terms of what it means to be a follower, he challenges this man exactly where he's at. Look at it this way. Jesus, I will follow you, but I gotta check my Facebook page. I mean, there are some things I posted last night, there's some pictures, and people are gonna want to comment on that. And don't even get me started on my Twitter account. Jesus, I have like a bazillion followers. And if I don't check in every day, they're gonna wonder where I'm at. I'm just that kind of guy. So Jesus, I'll circle back to you when I've looked back to see what I need to do first. Once again, you tell me, take a look at your gospel reading for today. How does this man respond to Jesus? What does he say? What does he do? Once again, big old question mark. The question posed to you and to me is, the family of God, Christ followers this morning, is just this. When Jesus challenges you in terms of looking back to whatever it is, what will you do? Taking notes, I'd encourage you to maybe jot this down. If we could capture situation 1 in a few words, it might be this. The call of comfort. First man coming after Jesus, and Jesus challenges him with what it means to be a follower, specifically what it looks like to follow him, and maybe where that sees them going in their journey. And maybe just maybe along the way, when push comes to shove, you realize that there's a greater call to comfort in our lives than anything else. And so maybe at that time we step away from Jesus. Situation 1. Situation 2 might look a little something like this. Well, Jesus, I have my priorities. I mean, I know you want me to follow you. I know you have that person you want me to talk to and share my faith with. I know there's that thing you want me to do at church. And I know there's that person in my neighborhood who really needs some help. Maybe just 5 minutes of my time to pray with them. But Jesus, I have my schedule. You know my schedule. You know all things. You know from Sunday to Saturday it's booked. I barely have time to breathe. And you want me to do something else? Situation 3 might look something like this. Looking back. Growing up on a farm, I resonate a lot with what Jesus says. Driving tractors and various farm equipment. Boy, I tell you what, if you're not looking forward and you turn around, you know, your neighbor stops by, hey, Seth, how's it going? Oh, hey, Bob, whoa. All over the place. Focus forward is a great thing, and it's a good thing for the people of God and for our church. Amen?
Amen?
But every once in a while, something calls to us from the back. Maybe 5 minutes ago, maybe 5 days ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, maybe 5 months ago, maybe 5 years plus ago. And the challenge for you and for me is to keep our hearts anchored in the now and focus forward. But something crashes in and it pulls us back, and we look back, and if only for a second, and we go off course. Three individuals call comfort, my priorities, and looking back. I see myself in each one of those. The times that I have not done what God has called me to do. Do you? Today, through the strength of this word and the working of the Holy Spirit, and in the interest of a relationship with you and me, look at something else for us to take away, something to finish our time with this morning, through the work of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, right before we hear about these three people who have come to Jesus, who have interacted with him, and who have, well, we don't know where they went, St. Luke records this for us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who calls us to walk with him, to go with him. Luke shares this: when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And do you know what waits for Jesus in Jerusalem? The cross. The place where Jesus goes, not for a comfortable cross, not for his own agenda, not for the interest of looking back, but focus forward for you and for me, so that our struggles and our sins would be forgiven, so that we would not have to work our way into heaven, so that you and I would have a lasting, standing hope, so that no matter when we opt for our priorities, when we opt for a comfortable cross or following, or for all the times we look back, all those things will be forgiven and not held against us, so that you and I can focus forward for the calling that God has given us to do, to focus forward on this Jesus who models for us the following, the call of the cross, where I die to myself daily, where I set my agenda to the side so I can understand his a little bit more, and so that I'm not looking back in the mirror, I'm focusing forward on where Jesus is going and where he's going today and tomorrow. Jesus models for us what it means to be obedient to the will of God and to put God first. St. Paul notes this for himself. We heard this from our second reading for today from Philippians 3. Let me share this with you briefly as we close out our time. In terms of what it looks like to give one's life to Jesus in the cross, he said, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that one that comes not from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This week, I'm not sure what situations you and I will be faced with. I'm not sure if they'll be like situation one, where it's an area of comfort versus cross. I'm not sure if it'll be a situation where it's my priorities versus God's priorities. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a situation of looking back or focus forward or some mix of all. But all game shows and what-if scenarios aside, when push comes to shove, when God calls you through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word, what will you do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling out to us on a daily basis through your word and through the working of the Holy Spirit and through other Christ followers. We thank you for this body of believers where you gift your grace, your hope, your forgiveness, and your undying love. We recognize that on a daily basis, as our schedules and our calendars fill up with all kinds of things, we realize that we are not so different from the three individuals captured for us in the gospel reading from today. We may not resonate with them on a one-to-one basis, but we all can identify with those times where you come to us and you challenge us to step out of our comfort zone, out of our schedule, and out of looking back, to focus forward, to give airtime to your priorities, and to take up the cross and to follow Jesus as he's modeled for us. Father, these are hard things, and truth be told, we mess up. Today, once again, we've heard about your grace. We've heard about your forgiveness and your mercy that are free on the account of Christ. So, Father, we pray today that through the working of your Holy Spirit and your word, you would shape us, mold us to be the Christ followers you would have us to be, not just in this hour and in this space, but to our relationships, to our places of work, our schools, our neighborhoods, and to this city and this nation, especially in times when there's a lot of hurt and heartache. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This time of our service, I invite you to stand as we take a moment to confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This time of our service, the congregation may be seated, as we collect our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And once again, a friendly reminder, if you locate the friendship booklets near the center aisle, take a moment to reach for that and note your attendance, as well as any contact information you might have. I'd love to stay in touch with you in the days ahead. And if you would, see to it that it gets its way at the end of the aisle. We appreciate